call is now being recorded.
We are SC Podcast, Gary Paskowitz, joined by Randy Taylor from National Preps. And Randy, we're taping this at the end of June. The Trojans just held their last elite recruit camp this morning. And so we're going to sit here and kind of talk about some of the activity that we've seen in recent weeks, and there has been a lot of it. Let's start off at the quarterback position. We had a chance last week to see Keydon Slovis, the kid from Arizona who is a verbal commit to the Trojans right now. And he came out here, and I'll tell you what, he is a development guy. I don't think there's any question. The first thing that jumped out to me is, boy, this kid has some room to grow. He's on the skinny side right now. But I like the way this ball comes out of his hand, Randy. And the thing that he talked about, he said, the coaches have made it clear to me they want to take two quarterbacks in this class. I'm good with that. I think he is a perfect second guy to put in there and develop. Kind of reminds me when the Trojans took Matt Leinart and Billy Hart. Billy Hart was that second guy. And that's what Keydon Slovis kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, and he's an athlete So I think that's a heck of a pair. If you get a Helsinki and a Slovis, and Ryan has just had such a great spring, and development, but since the fall has been remarkable. And, he's a great kid. I'm not surprised SC offered him. He's getting a lot of offers, even though he's committed to, South Carolina.
And what are your thoughts on that South Carolina commitment?
Well, I just think that they have some connections back there from what I've gotten a talk to the young guy. There's some family that they've had in that area. So I think that it's a legitimate commit. However, you know, that was before SC offered. It was before some others may still offer. And it's a lot of cities to fly over. So the thought was, in my kind of assumption, is that whole family may move. And so
I heard that.
So there's that possibility. And if that's the case, then there's no cities to fly over. So it just kind of depends on. This one is more of a, I think, a family decision as much as a football decision.
And with everything that family's been through, you can certainly understand. But I'll say this, there was a reaction on the day that USC offered Helsinki. There was a reaction from one of the local newspaper columnists on Twitter who made some comment to the point of, boy, SC is getting desperate. And my initial thought was that columnist hasn't seen Ryan Helsinki during these spring sessions. Cause as you kind of alluded to, he has really grown his game this spring, Randy, and to the point where I don't think there's any question for me. He is the top 2019 local quarterback in the area. Jaden Daniels would probably argue with that. But in terms of a pro style guy with size, Ryan's a big kid and he throws a hard ball. I really like the fact that the Trojans stepped up and made him that next guy to offer, because I would have done it too.
Yeah. I there's no question. I think he is the top 2019 guy out here right now, and he just has developed, and he's got more room to develop. I mean, he's still got room to grow, and he still has things that he's going to develop. So he's an elite guy, and you know, we'll see. That's just going to be on who recruits him and what the family decides to do, where he'll be, and it's not bad having a Slovis and a Helsinki on your roster.
No, it would not be.
Especially when you have lack of numbers, you know, at the quarterback position, it hasn't been, you know, a full roster in a lot of ways. So it's a good thing.
And let's look at it this way. Let's say, with all the speculation of JT Daniels, let's say JT Daniels does get named the starter in August, but before the school year starts. Hey, either Matt Fink or Jack Sears, if one of those guys leaves and decides to transfer, you're going to go through this football season with two scholarship quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, one or both.
One or both. So how's that going to make you feel as a coach? Make me feel really nervous.
You're exactly right. It's you're one rolled up ankle away, right?
Right, right. So you take two in this class, and then you're going to have an announcement from Bryce Young at some point this summer on where he's going to go. And the tea leaves certainly read SC at this point with Bryce. So going to be a lot of clarity coming on the SC quarterback situation here in the next couple months.
For a couple years.
Exactly. There was a verbal commit coming out of the camp last week. And boy, Randy, this recruiting calendar just gets moved up more and more. It's from a class of 2021. So a kid who's going to be a sophomore, a lineman out from Grace Brethren. The Trojans got a commitment, from linebacker Stanley Taufu a couple weeks ago. But they went back and grabbed Jay Toia, is how we believe it's going to be pronounced. And Jay is 6'2", 325, Randy, another Polynesian kid, 325 going into his sophomore year. My goodness.
And that the amazing part is that he carries the weight really well for his age. And it gives you the idea that unless he gets sloppy or lazy or can't control his weight, his upside is scary. So it's hard to find guys like that. And so when you got a chance, you see somebody that could have an unbelievable upside, you go for it. So I think that's a heck of a get for the Trojans, and we'll just see how the kid keeps developing.
Right. Yeah. When you saw him out there at the camp, you look at that 325 and say, boy, he moves pretty well. Like you say, he carries it well. And he moves. So unless things change, boy, I like the thought of this kid in a couple of years, whatever kind of monster he's going to be at that size. Holy cow.
Yeah. No question.
And let's just say this, we're definitely going to be stopping by. I'll probably see you at a Grace Brethren game at some point because with those two guys in there, there's going to be a fair amount of college coaches stopping by. I thought Stanley looked good too. I'd say he's north of that. He was being reported around 245. I would put him a little north of that right now.
That the Grace Brethren has done a nice job of bringing kids into that program, you know, in that North Valley part. So and they're a good guy. I like the coaches out there. It's a good group, but yeah, it's a place you'd want to go see a couple of top players at least.
Okay. Well, what another guy that we saw that we have not had a chance to talk about, mainly because the kid committed, early in the process to Oregon, was safety Cameron Williams from Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Now, Randy, we've talked about how there's not a lot of available great safeties in this area. I think Chris Steele, one that we're kind of waiting on to see what happens. But I think Cameron Williams, he mentioned SC, you know, he decommitted from Oregon, was on SC's campus at a camp a couple days later. And watching him, what I like about him, Randy, he has a good presence out there on the field. You just see him out there. He covers a lot of ground, and he seems to know what he's doing. Your thoughts on Cameron Williams?
Well, doesn't he look like he just loves the game? That's the kind of the thing that I got from him. You know, he's about a 6 foot, 200 pound kid. Looks like what you'd want a guy to look like, but he just seems like he loves the game too. So, and you know, that leads to having the feel for it and instincts and all those kind of things that you'd want out of a guy like that. So I think, you know, it's 50-50 between Oregon and USC now? So having a shot at a guy like that's pretty good.
It's just amazing right now just how much, you know, this staff right now, it just seems like they have the ability. If they want to play able to flip a kid or if they stay tabs on him, they are really good at that. And that's not always an easy thing to do.
You're right. No question about it. Yeah, and I think other kids that are going to be in that safety mix too, Jeremiah Crudell can play safety. You mentioned Chris Steele already. So there's some other kids that I think could play some of the safety role too, when we get to it. Cause I think Crudell is more of a safety than a corner in my, just this physical, his body type and strength and all that kind of stuff. So. There's other guys, and they play corner, and moving corners to safety is a great thing.
Oh, sure. And you've mentioned that before on Crudell. I I wonder right now, just with that Criddell and Sean Dollar's commitment to Oregon, like we talked about, the USC coaches have shown a good ability to flip. And I'll tell you what,
yeah.
I would, if I had the choice of guys I would flip, I would have both of those two on my list. That's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. I think, but just when we were talking about safeties that are out, you know, in the area, I think those, and you're, you some, I talk about it as a guy that would recruit them all the time. And I know you're looking at it as they are or they aren't committed to somebody. So we kind of both look at it a little different light, but, I'm with you.
Sure, I hear you on that. But I've loved Criddell, boy, for 2 years now. So
yeah,
I think the world of him.
Yeah.
Hey, the comment you made about Cameron Williams, I just want to say something really quick. You said he just loves the game. We at the elite camp last week for SC. Justin Babyflow was out there.
Yeah.
And if there was a memo sent out saying this is a no contact camp, he didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
Which he tends to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Justin has gotten that memo on any of these camps without pads.
No. But that was the comment. He put on two pretty good licks. And the guy who was standing next to me, Helix Trojan on our side, Clifton Blevins, that was the comment that came out of his mouth was, boy, that kid sure loves to play the game.
Yeah.
The USC strength and conditioning coach, Ivan Lewis, went up to Flo after one of his plays and was just, you know, I love this kid. And it's not hard. Yeah. It's easy to fall in love with him when you watch him play football.
No question. Yeah. And again, I've said this every time, my interaction with the kid, I really like him as an individual. And, you know, a guy that has with me, you know, shakes the hand, looks you in the eye, those kind of things. So all of that stuff
right.
is good. Yeah.
And isn't it for someone like you, Randy, who goes and sees a lot of kids? You know, we talked in a couple of podcasts a few weeks back about, you know, some of your recommendations for that. But that, you know, if you're a coach out there going to meet a kid and you get someone like that, it makes an impression.
Yeah.
When the kid's doing it, you know, that there's no doubt.
No question.
So we're going to, in our next topic, what we really want to talk about here, and one of the things that really became evident in this camp season was just how much the recruiting calendar is sped up. You know, this
yeah.
was not a recruiting season, as far as camps are concerned, for the 2019 kids. There was a couple moves here and there, like a Helsinki offer. But for the most part, Randy, this was for 2020, 2021, and we're even going to talk some 2022 names here when we get into it. But it is amazing how much further along, and you made the great point, it's that college coaches are able to see these kids so much earlier now and be able to make more you know, educated evaluations so more offers are going out. And so I want to go through a couple of kids that we've seen in recent weeks. And let's start off at the quarterback position. One guy I want to mention is Jake Garcia from Narbonne. It's a guy ever since last year. He was backing up Matt Corral. Malik Murphy from St. John Bosco. And then the kid Tyler Buckner from the Bishop School who got an offer from USC a couple of weeks ago. These are all big-time guys, Randy. I know you've had a chance to see them.
Yeah. The Malik Murphy is a 2022, so he hadn't even started ninth grade yet.
He didn't set foot. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I saw him this past weekend at a camp at the University of Laverne, and I mean he is a fluid, compact, and to be honest, in Brumfield at Sarah's a heck of a quarterback, the lefty, but this guy looked better mechanically and everything than Brumfield did, and just was phenomenal. I mean, and he's probably a 6'3" ish, you know, but he's 180 pounds, but he just fluid motion, effortless, and you know, could spin it. All those things that you want to see in a quarterback. The Tyler Buckner kid, who's going to be a sophomore at the Bishop School. In San Diego is phenomenal. Ball jumps off his hands and he in this class will probably be the, I don't ever want to say anybody's going to be a TJ Daniels, but this guy could be the top guy in this class, already and stay that way all the way through. So, that kid is really talented and he's a good sized kid, about 6'2". But there's a bunch, there's some really good, young quarterbacks out there. There's a kid at Alamany, Jack Applegate, that's a 2021 kid. So there's a whole bunch of kids that, we're going to hear a lot more about. There's a 2022 kid, David Clark, up at Folsom, in the Sacramento area, that's a dual threat kid. So, it's going to be fun to watch these young guys. There's a kid I just recently saw at, Santa Margarita, 2021 kid named Peter Castelli, who I like, is a good looking kid, good body and can spin it, those kind of, so there's a bunch of young quarterbacks.
And then the kid at Santa Margarita who you like more as an athlete, there was a young
at Santa Margarita
kid. Yeah. Maybe I'm getting them mixed up there.
I know you're, the kid is, I know you're talking about. It's, I'm just drawing a blank on his name, but, I just saw him out at another camp. It's, Trillian Harris.
Trillian Harris, that's him.
Yeah, he's a 2021 kid. Yeah. And he has quarterback skills and he's young. He's just real skinny and not quite as polished, but looks like he's getting there. So I think, that's another guy. They have a few young, obviously two young quarterbacks that are going to compete against each other. So we'll see.
Boy, the Trinity League skill this year is just going to be off the charts.
Yeah, it it's getting better and better. I'm at Jay Sarah watching a showcase and there's, three or four, ninth graders that are Division One guys and
okay.
Modern day is the same and all of these places it's shocking how many good players are on one team, and as youngsters. Or surprising is probably the best.
I look at Jay Sarah. I know Jay Sarah has Manure McLean coming to SC, but the Tariq Luckett kid was out at SC's camp last week and I'm like, look at this kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice pair for Jay Sarah at the receiver spot.
Yeah, and Tariq Luckett, and I've talked with him a lot and since he was a freshman, watching him, run around and cover kicks and they were just throwing him long balls, but he has improved greatly. And some coaches thought he was a little bit stiff and this and that, which, drives me crazy because sometimes I'm looking at the stiffness and it's so hard to see, but some of these guys have great eyes for that. But he is a top Pac-12 guy that is going to catch a lot of balls and make plays, whether he's with SC or against him. And
I look, he's got long arms and he catches everything with his hands.
Yeah, he sure does. He had great hands, natural. And he's faster than people think. I was out at a camp. We had a fastest man deal, and there were some elite players in this fastest man competition and the skill. And he was right there in the front running with track kids. So
wow,
he just is a competitor.
Okay, let's go with another name that you brought up earlier this spring. You said to watch out for Jack Yeary out in Murrieta, the son of Ron Yeary. He's a 2020 tight end who, heck, if it would have surprised anybody if he grows into an offensive lineman, no. But, right now he is a tight end and a good one. And the Trojans offered him last week and it was a happy night in the Yeary household.
Yeah, I would think. I love that kid. He has been playing tight end. He does play some defense and that kind of thing. He has such a great body type, that he could carry the weight to be an offensive lineman, but he does a nice job as a tight end. And so it doesn't really matter what he is. You bring him in and see how he turns out. But, to me, I'm starting him at tight end. Because, you know, I mean, inline tight ends are important.
Sure.
You know? So that's what I think anyway.
Well, I remember your thought about Liam Douglas for SC. Hey, have you thought about making him a big tight end, you know?
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing something like that? So, and then,
yeah.
And then you're, you know, and then with Michael Martinez going to UCLA, you know, you never know. It's never over till it's over. And I hope the Trojans keep on trying on that kid. But sure hate losing him across town. Boy.
Yeah. No
love
question.
Michael Martinez wherever he ends up. Okay. Yeah. Let's, we talked about Yeri being a familiar name. We talked earlier about Justin Flo. The Trojans also offered last week Jonathan Flo, the younger
yeah.
brother of Justin, the 2021 kid. And, a couple people on the message board, and myself included, Randy, when I first heard OSC offer Jonathan Flo, oh, I don't even need to see him. I'll take him.
Right. Yeah.
If he's yeah. just his younger brother.
Yeah, and he has kind of just popped out there. I mean, he as a freshman was a good football player. And I didn't, you know, I didn't put a great grade on him, you know, just kind of keep an eye on him when I have an early look grade, because I didn't want to just rate him high because he was the brother. And,
uh-huh.
This spring, he's become, the guy that everybody thought he was based on how good his brother is. So,
yeah.
You know, he's about a 6'1"-ish, 225-pound kid, runs okay. He's still young, strong though. He's a 300-plus bench presser and a good student, all that kind of stuff. So it's not bad to, you know, get the McLean and the Flo brothers.
No, it is not. No, it is not.
Right.
Okay, I want to talk about a couple running backs here. One is that SC offered last week. One is Jojuan Collins
right.
At Narbonne now, previously at Dorsey. And then a new name you know, you mentioned the Malik Murphy hasn't even shown up on Bosco's campus yet. Jamani Jackson is a running back who hadn't even showed up on Modern Day's campus, but he got an offer last week. So these two offers out there, I know you've had a chance to see Collins a lot. This is a guy with some size, Randy. I really liked what I saw from him.
Yeah, he's a big, physical, athletic back that I think it has got a chance to be terrific. And saw him at Dorsey as a freshman. There was no question then, and he just continues to develop into what you kind of want, right? So
uh-huh.
he's a definite guy. I haven't seen Jackson as much. Heard a lot about him, so I'm gonna I'll remain kind of neutral on him, but believe that they're not offering him if he's not any good.
I'll tell you what I liked about him. About 6'1", 175, I would say. Just smooth, Randy. In
yeah.
control. That's something that not every running back has, especially a kid who's not even a freshman yet. In high school, he just looked like he knows what he's doing on the football field. And if you're 6'1", 175 right now, what are you going to be by the time you're a senior? And if I'm betting on an incoming freshman running back, I got no problem betting on Damani Jackson.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about this. We've mentioned a lot. We mentioned right there, you know, a handful of kids who haven't even stepped on a high school campus yet. There's another one in Caden Martin, T. Martin's son, who is a quarterback, going to be at Redondo Union next year as a freshman, and USC offered him
yeah.
last week. All these are some really young offers, and we mentioned the fact that coaches are able to see them more. But talk about how this calendar has been sped up to this point where, you know, you went out to Modern Day Spring Showcase last month, and the Damani Jackson kid wasn't even there yet because he's not on campus. So talk about these early offers and how this has just sped things up so much.
Well, I think a couple of things have happened. I think the excitement and the interest in the training and the 7-on-7 and all of these next generation type things, the youth football all-star games and all of that stuff that has kind of taken the Pop Warner world, you know, and brought it into more of some of these other sports, you know, like these travel softball and baseball and basketball teams, and they get those young kids, those junior Olympians and All-Americans and all that kind of stuff. So football has gone that way. And then, you know, you throw in the internet, you throw in all of these showcases and camps. One of the things that has been great for the kids locally, above and beyond the USC camps, which are outstanding and I love to attend, is the smaller colleges in the area have been holding these camps with the Washingtons of the world and the Boise States and Colorado and all of these different programs. TCU has come up, all these different programs who have these camps here locally, and a lot of young kids are showing up at those, and that's kind of been fun too. So there's a lot of ways of seeing young players, and the interest in it is really high. And 7-on-7, I think, is a part of that. I think that the families are getting their kids into that, just like they used to get them into the travel baseball and all those different things. Mm-hmm. So all of that added up to being able to see kids earlier, and the development of these kids earlier, and this is what happens. But it hasn't just started. I mean, I was telling you, back when I was at UCLA, we offered John David Booty in eighth grade, you know, and we're in LA and he's an Evangel Christian, and mm-hmm. We know how that one went. But so that has happened over the years, but it's uh-huh. it's more and more. And for me to have a list, I was just looking at the kids I have rated in that Power Five in the state of California, our national preps organization, we've got 69 kids in the class of 2021 and 2022 already rated Power Five. So this was freshmen last year and freshmen coming up this year. So the eighth grade freshman class is what we're mm-hmm. talking about. So and going through these names, I mean, SC has offered a lot. Yeah, Corey Foreman out of Centennial High School in Corona is an unbelievable defensive end prospect. So uh-huh. it just, uh-huh. There's so many players and they're big and strong and fast and will continue to grow and develop all that stuff. So it's fun to watch.
I remember last year going out to Long Beach Poly thinking I was just going to scout Matt Corral. And then I see a kid who's, not much smaller than Matt, throwing a sharp ball, you know, handling himself well out there. I think you saw you out there that day.
Yeah.
And someone said, yeah, that kid's he's going to be a freshman this year with Jake Garcia.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, holy cow. I would say, I guess, especially with the quarterbacks, but it's receivers too, and 7-on-7. It's the polish that gets me on some of these kids, Randy. That's just not the freshman that you and I remember, you know, from even 10, 15 years ago in the recruiting game. Like you say, I think it's fun to see. I really do.
Yeah, I was worried about where, you know, if I was going to be able to play wiffle ball that day, you know, the next day and you know, that kind of stuff when I was that age. So we had punt, pass, and kick, you know what I mean? So it's a different world, and it's great for these kids, and it's good for guys like me and that, you know, go to all these events. And the guys I get most fired up to watch are those young kids. So my seeing Saturday, seeing this Malik Murphy was pretty cool. I like that.
We'll be keeping an eye on Bosco again for another quarterback. They've had quite the run.
Yeah, actually, I think he's at Sarah, Malik Murphy.
Oh, he's at Sarah. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Did I say St. John Bosco? He and Ian Broomfield are together at Sarah.
Another guy I like. I like Doug.
Yeah, me too.
Thought he was a good player. Yeah, last year when he got his opportunity. So, yeah.
Yeah, there are some good players. And then we, you know, the 2020 class with those QBs are phenomenal. You know, three or four of those guys. I saw another good one down at Grossmont High School, 2020 quarterback that I liked. Of course, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but just really good quarterbacks that can spin it and have a feel for it, and it's fun to watch them.
That's one of the reasons, I think, for SC right now. There's people wondering, can a guy come in as a true freshman who skipped his senior year and did all this and that? Hey, this is not, 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. Look at how the national championship game ended with a pair of true freshman quarterbacks on the
court. Don't
rule that out as a huge factor that can't be overcome.
No, you're right. Hey, just for the sake of getting it right, Jamie Odom is the kid from Grossmont High School that I saw this weekend too, and like, so.
There you go.
So there's fun guys to watch. I'm sorry?
All right, Randy. No, I said the Taylor database is always there for you.
I have to, my memory's shot, but I can use a mouse.
I love it. Well, thanks for your time, Randy. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Thanks,
Randy.
Guys. Appreciate it.